Welcome to Full Potential, Thriving with Neurodiversities. I'm your host, Sarah Intonato. This podcast teaches parents of children with neurodiversities, such as autism, ADHD, learning disabilities, and beyond, to support their kids in reaching their full potential so that they can thrive, instead of letting stereotypes define them. My mission is to end suffering amongst these parents by giving them the tools to heal themselves, which in turn empowers them to be bold, confident advocates for their children. By addressing a variety of topics, such as well-being, advocacy, and spirituality, these parents stop being the victims of a broken system and instead succeed in providing their unique children with exactly what they need to thrive and share their gifts with the world. One by one, these families now change the world through their uniqueness instead of being victimized by it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Sarah Intonato. I'm thrilled to share this really special podcast episode with you today, all about how to nurture independence in someone with autism or any other type of developmental delay, disability, neurodiversity. And this is a really exciting topic because so often people look at independence as this kind of finish line to get through. And in reality, independence is something that ebbs and flows. It's something that you work on as early as you want. In fact, it's never too early to start nurturing independence in a child, whether they're neurotypical or neurodiverse. But today we're going to talk about why individuals with autism can have a more difficult time adapting as easily and sort of what provokes their brains to get stuck and have more challenges developing independence. And also how you can bypass that and help them to nurture independence anyway. And in order to do that, we're going to look at the topics of static intelligence versus dynamic intelligence. And in autism, individuals' brains develop static intelligence very easily. An example of static intelligence is something like typing, for example. The keyboard always looks the same. Your hands always go in the same place. And if you sit down at your computer every day, you know what to expect. It's predictable. Dynamic intelligence is where executive functioning and adaptability are developed. And someone with autism doesn't develop dynamic intelligence as thoroughly or easily. And the good news is that these are skills that can be learned. The challenging part is that someone, you as the parent, is going to be the person who has to teach them in order for them to grow. So an example of dynamic intelligence is that, okay, you sit down to type at your keyboard on your computer, no problem, business as usual. And then one of the keys gets stuck and you have to think on your feet and figure out how to keep going. Or your cup of water spills right near your computer and it disrupts your process. And you might have to pick the computer up and move it to a different spot and spray and wipe the counter down and then dry it off and then put the computer back and then get to typing again. Make sure you've saved your document as you're doing that. So again, the adaptability and executive functioning pieces of that puzzle are examples of dynamic intelligence. And again, you can learn dynamic intelligence. That's not like, oh, it didn't develop in someone with autism. Too bad. And that's the good news. But you have to be up for the challenge. And I'm not going to lie to you. There is work involved in developing dynamic intelligence. But I know you're here listening to this episode because you're keen to do the work, just like me. So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit more about dynamic intelligence versus static intelligence so you can understand why dynamic intelligence is so important. So we already covered static, always the same, like the keyboard. Dynamic can be changing. Maybe, for example, you go to spray and wipe the counter and your favorite spray that you love to use is running low. So you have to go to your cleaning closet and get a new bottle. Then maybe you're out. If you're out of the cleaning products, what do you do? Can you adapt and use white vinegar or do you have to go to the store? This is something that can be ebbing and flowing. And static has little to no change, whereas in dynamic, these challenges can come and go. So static has little to no challenge, change, dynamic, there's lots of ebbing and flowing. A static situation or static intelligence can have a predictable dynamic, meaning I always push this key on the computer, the key always shows up the letter on the screen. Or I love to do laundry with my son. So an example of I always take the laundry out of the dryer and I put it into the laundry basket. Static, predictable. Dynamic would be I go to take the laundry out of the dryer and some of the socks are dry, but the other things in there weren't really dry yet. Now what do I do? Static intelligence means problems always have the same answer. Someone texts you a message, you have to pull up your keyboard and text them back. Dynamic intelligence requires problem solving and sometimes creative problem solving because the answer will always be different. This is a really key point with static intelligence. There's not much need for resilience. You always take the laundry out of the laundry machine, you put it in the bin, no problem. But dynamic intelligence, resilience is really key. You go to take the laundry out. It's not dry yet. This takes more time. This takes more energy. It takes more mental thought process. So resilience is essential. Dynamic intelligence is also really what allows people to try something new. And this is important for independence because if you're an adult on this planet, you know that life does not always go according to plan. And very often, you have to adapt in the moment and try new things in order to get through your day. And if you're someone who has really surrounded yourself with static environments that are always the same, always predictable, then you're not going to have the ability to think on your feet and be a creative, critical thinker. As a result, when you surround yourself with a static environment, it can create an isolated life. Everything always the same. Whereas a dynamic life can be a full life. And that's really what we want. I meet a lot of families who kind of get stuck in what I would call little ruts. Like their kid will only eat the same breakfast every single day and never try anything else. This means that going on vacation can be difficult. This means that, you know, when grandma visits and she wants to make pancakes for breakfast, that's her special thing. It can thwart that nice family bonding moment. And they get stuck in conditions always being predictable because it makes them feel safe because they haven't yet developed their creative problem-solving skills. Doesn't mean they can't, but they haven't yet. So that dynamic intelligence is really what allows for a full life, an independent life. And RDI relationship development intervention really puts a heavy emphasis on breaking those static patterns, sometimes on purpose, to help the individual learn to think creatively. And of course, doing this in a thoughtful way that doesn't provoke too much anxiety, knowing that you're doing it in a safe place, in a safe way, so that the child can start to baby step into learning this and then feeling confident that they can do different things. They can learn and adapt. They can grow. They can be a creative problem solver. And one simple way to start baby stepping into this dynamic intelligence at home that you can do right now is to choose a new activity. Maybe you want to bake cookies with your child and you've never done that before. And assign everyone a role. Very often anxiety comes from the individual with autism or ADHD not knowing what their role is. Like saying, okay, let's bake cookies. And then they're standing next to you in the kitchen and they're thinking, well, what should I be doing? Should I be getting things out of the fridge? Should I be turning the oven on? Should I be, you know, clearing a space on the counter? What's my job? And that can create anxiety, not knowing what your role is, where to go, what to do. And the good news is that by doing the simple task of assigning a role, hey, we're going to make cookies today. Your job is to get the eggs out of the fridge. Can immediately remove that anxiety because the individual knows, okay, great. I have a clear path. I know exactly what's required of me. I might need help in executive functioning to figure out, well, what's the first step in that process? Sometimes I have to remind my son, hey, where are the eggs? Go get them. Because this is a new activity. He's never initiated it before. I can support him in showing him how to get started. But otherwise, without that clear role, he would just be standing there thinking, oh, now what do I do? So assigning a role as you do something new can be a really key thing in building that dynamic intelligence without so much anxiety. It will also build creative problem solving. Oh, I dropped an egg. What do I have to do? Clean it up, put it in the trash, get a new one, start again. And these examples seem so small, but they're a key recipe ingredient for success. Confidence. After you do something new, as a neurotypical adult, don't you feel good about yourself? Maybe you went to the gym and crushed a new workout. Maybe you challenged yourself to meditate for a few extra minutes. Maybe you ended up going for a longer hike than you thought you could. How do you feel after those experiences? Proud of yourself? Excited? Maybe curious around what might happen next that you hadn't thought of that could be really cool and exciting? Maybe some analysis of the situation, some reflection and thinking about those lessons that you learned and how you might use them for the future. Well, all of that happens for neurodiverse individuals too. They may not communicate about it as easily. They may not be able to tell you, but I bet if you know your child well, and I know mine, simply by observing them, you'll notice that they feel proud. They feel like they've achieved something. I always say that after my son does something new and exciting, he sometimes walks a little more pep in his step. You know, he shakes his tail feathers a little bit more. And it's because he feels so good about himself. And now can you imagine if you never gave yourself an experience of having to rise to the occasion, ever? You never tried that new workout. You never went on the hike. You never meditated. You never tried because you thought that you couldn't, or other people who you needed to support you thought that you couldn't. Just be with that for a minute. It's a really big deal. And when you look at someone with autism or another diagnosis, they really depend on the people around them in many ways. And if those people are assuming that they can't, instead of figuring out one small way to scratch the surface and create this dynamic intelligence, how will they ever learn it? It's a topic that I could really go on and on about for a college semester, really. But your job as the parent, the leader, the guide, is to look at walking that razor's edge of what your child's already capable of doing, can easily handle, and then stretching it just a little bit. Not so much that they feel defeated, but enough that they have to rise to the occasion, maybe with your help, and think of how they will feel on the other side of that. A great example of dynamic intelligence and how it's so important for parents and caregivers to be aware of it is a client of mine recently was saying that her child was struggling at recess, not wanting to go. And this was a kid who always loved going outside. She loved going outside. And the parents were concerned because they said, you know, she's a teenager now and all of a sudden she's not going outside. This is so strange. I wonder why. How could we figure out the situation? Because getting outside is important. And they were doing some brainstorming with some people in their school, trying to figure it out. And one of the school administrators who was not working with their child directly said, well, what does it matter? She doesn't socialize at recess anyway. And she met well. She was trying to take the pressure off of the parents to figure out something. But never mind the fact that in my world, fresh air is hugely important and moving your body is hugely important. Taking a break in the middle of your day is important. I remind my neurotypical daughter, who loves to get her homework done before she gets home from school, she has a study period or some quiet time, that recess is not negotiable. You have to get outside and breathe some fresh air and change your environment and shake things off a little bit, at least for a few minutes during your day. And so while the intention was good, when that administrator said, you know, your child doesn't socialize anyway, what's the big deal? It felt demoralizing to the parents. And it, from an RDI standpoint, felt like there were so many things that this administration was not aware of that could be considered to improve the situation. For example, was this student having recess with all her neurotypical peers? Was she having it with other students with similar diagnoses? Was it with the students the same age? Was it with younger students, older students? Let's look at the environment. Also, was she given a clear role at recess? Or were the doors open and sort of she's ushered outside and saying, like, okay, figure it out. That can feel intimidating for someone with autism. Think about if you open your whole closet, like a huge walk-in closet, and someone says to you, what do you want to wear today? It's like, I don't know. There's so many options. What should I do? Whereas if someone holds up to you a blue shirt and a red shirt and they say, pick one, which one do you want? You think, oh, okay, I can make a decision. This isn't stressful. So assigning the role for the child of, okay, first we're going to run one lap with a friend and then we're going to play catch with this other friend and just do that. Then after that, let them explore and do something if they'd like, but make it small, make it doable. Allow them to know what their role is to lessen the anxiety. And then you can start to experiment more with the dynamic intelligence of, oh, hey, we usually run a lap with Joey and Joey's not here today. Who should we run a lap with instead? Carrie or Elizabeth? Bring in that dynamic moment, bring in that adaptability. Oh, we usually play catch with a basketball, but the basketball's dirty. So should we play with baseball or the kickball? Bring in that adaptability there too. So this is just one example of how being adaptable and learning that adaptability, learning that executive functioning, that dynamic intelligence is something that can take practice and most importantly, take guidance. Just because the individual with autism doesn't know it automatically already doesn't mean they can't learn it. Just because the individual who we spoke about a moment ago doesn't socialize at recess yet doesn't mean she can't. Think of how intimidating that might feel for her, especially if she's keenly aware she's the kid who's different and has trouble keeping up with others. So these are things I would love for you to consider as you explore how to create more dynamic intelligence for your child so that they can develop the adaptability, the executive functioning, the analysis skills, the creative problem solving to grow into independent young adults. That's the goal. And I want you to know that as a parent of a neurodiverse child and a neurotypical child, I use all of these things with both of my children because I notice that even neurotypical children, sometimes they still need support. They're just kids. And how can I be more supportive for each child individually so that they can be more independent, not so that they're dependent on me doing things for them? There's a big difference. So think about what's one thing you can do today to be more of a leader for your child. But I will warn you, if you're stressed and you're not able to remain emotionally regulated because you're overwhelmed, you're stressed out, you will never be able to support another person in remaining regulated or co-regulate and share an activity with someone else. So step one, your base camp one is to manage your stress now. And by clicking the link in the show notes, 5 simple ways to reduce your stress right now as a parent of a kid with needs, you will be able to take simple steps every day to put yourself in a state of readiness because you've lowered your stress. That's the goal. I know you can achieve it. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Take care.
If today's show resonated with you, please leave a review through your favorite podcast provider, as it's an important step in allowing new listeners to find us when they need to hear this message in their own lives.